KVOE Live and local, partly cloudy, 28 degrees, wind chill of 17 on this Wednesday morning.
KVOE, 1400 AM and 96.9 FM, live and local. This is Newsmaker 2.
And our Newsmaker 2 brought to you this morning by State Farm Insurance Agent Pete Euler at 920 Commercial. Pete Euler providing clients with peace of mind in the Emporia area for over 42 years. Call Pete at 342-6272.
Some things in life are just automatic. Like State Farm Agent Pete Euler offering good neighbor service, plus surprisingly great rates on auto insurance. Actually, if you were to contact Pete right now, you'd find you could have some of those surprisingly great rates and good neighbor service right away. As in, automatically. Give Pete Euler here in Emporia a call today. He thinks you'll be automatically happy you did. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Individual premiums will vary by customer. All applicants subject to State Farm underwriting requirements.
KVOE News time is 8:20. Newsmaker 2 time here today. Legislative preview time today. We're pleased to have with us on the KVOE Sutherland studio line 17th District State Senator Jeff Longbine.
Senator Longbine, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Ron and Chuck. How are you guys today?
Doing all right. How are your holidays?
You know, they were pretty good. Got some family time in and got a couple of days off of work, so couldn't ask for much more.
That's not bad. Getting the extra days off, that's kind of a present in and of itself.
It is, yeah, especially this time of year when you're trying to close out the year and get a new year started. A couple of days to recharge your battery doesn't hurt anything.
And on top of that, oh, by the way, the legislative session beginning here Monday.
Oh, yeah, that does start Monday, yeah. Doesn't it?
Well, how did things go from your perspective, Jeff, with the 22 session to kind of set our foundation here for what's to come here this next few months?
Well, I thought 22 went pretty well. You know, we had a lot to do with federal dollars coming down and how they were going to be distributed and the SPARC committee and State Finance Council and all of that. You know, meeting those federal guidelines and getting that. Our budget did extremely well, once again, with revenues exceeding projections and careful spending. We built very large ending balances. And so I'd say overall the session went pretty well last year.
Yeah, financially, Jeff, has the state ever been in this good a shape? I mean, you are pretty flush with cash right now.
No, I think this is unprecedented. I don't think we've ever been in a position. We've got almost $2 billion in excess or ending balance. We've got another $1 billion in federal money and SPARC money that hasn't been distributed yet. So we are flush with cash. And so that's a good thing, but it also brings more additional challenges as we move forward and trying to make sure that we don't build things structurally in the budget that could cause us problems should the economy turn around. And then we've got to turn around and cut those programs or cut different programs. And so, you know, I think we've got some opportunities this session to do some really good things, but we've got to be very, very careful and cautious as we move forward, because with interest rates and inflation both rising by large amounts, what kind of effect will that have on the economy 6 months from now, 12 months from now, 2 years from now? We've got to keep that in mind.
Speaking of that, Jeff, how concerned are you that this is the year where the, you know, the financial, you know, and really I guess you could call them the monthly tax revenue reports start coming in below estimates for a significant period of time? I haven't seen that in 2+ years now, and yesterday December's came out and it was well ahead of projections.
Yeah, I was shocked by yesterday's numbers being $140 million over. I see it coming in the future. I really thought we were pretty close to the number in November. We were slightly over. December just kind of blew it out of the ballpark. But I can see with inflation and interest rates almost doubling, theoretically, I can see disposable income going down, which then decreases consumer spending, which then, you know, lowers our sales tax and could hurt our income tax. And so those are two main income sources. So I think we've got to keep it in the back of our mind, even though we're in great position as we sit right now.
Well, you are rolling into what is now, I guess, a new district for you, Senator. How are things lining up for you?
Well, pretty good. I didn't have many changes. It's kind of a weird transition time because I theoretically still have parts of Waubunsee and Pottawatomie County until 2 years from now when the new election cycle starts. But, you know, the senator who is going to take over Waubunsee is trying to transition in. I'm trying to transition into Morris County, which I will have. So kind of working with the old district and the new district at the same time. And so, you know, I know a lot of people in Morris County, very familiar with Morris County, so that's not a big transition to me, but still trying to help the people in Waubunsee and Pottawatomie also.
Are the issues that are facing the different counties here, Jeff, from your perspective, pretty similar county to county, or are there some significant differences? I guess maybe the one thing that comes to my mind is the heavily, more heavily populated places like Lyon County versus maybe a Morris County.
Well, there are, you know, certainly differences between Lyon County and what I would call my less populated counties. You know, we have higher ed and Emporia. We have a tech college, which certainly need and deserve a lot of attention. And Junction City, the Gary County area, I've got military presence, and so have to certainly pay a lot of attention to the military operations in Gary County. As far as Morris County versus Waubunsee County, probably very, very similar. Pottawatomie County is a little bit different in that Wamego, Pottawatomie County is thriving because it's kind of a bedroom community for Manhattan and Topeka along Highway 24. And so there are some differences in Pottawatomie County because most people, or I don't say most people, a lot of people commute out of Wamego into either Topeka or Manhattan. And so that county is growing, and so they've got building new schools and got a big project, highway project on 99 to straighten and widen it. So a lot going on up there.
Well, the legislative session begins next week in Topeka. What might be, it doesn't seem like we have a lot of hot-button issues right off the top, Senator, but what do you see as, you know, the legislature having to tackle first coming out when you kick things off next week?
Well, you know, first week is kind of everybody getting indoctrinated with House elections and a number of new House members. You know, they will go through their swearing in and getting adjusted to new committees and that type of thing. Kind of a strange phenomenon. The Senate has now had three resignations in the last 30 days. And so we'll have three new senators joining us in the next 2 to 3 weeks. Three doesn't sound like a lot, but it's almost 10% of our body. And so we will be working with them. We've had a couple of committee chairs swap places. None that affect me other than Fed and State. I'll have a new chair there. And so, you know, the first week we'll get organized. We'll have the governor's state of the state address. She'll release her budget probably the day after that. And so, you know, we'll begin committee meetings and go from there. A couple of issues, you know, the governor has stated that she's got three main objectives, and that is to pull the sales tax on food forward and drop it to zero this session. That will certainly get some consideration. I know that the legislature is also very, very interested in either reducing or eliminating income tax on retirement income, things such as government pensions, but more importantly, Social Security. We have an income tax cliff that if you make less than $75,000, you don't pay income tax on Social Security, but if you make more than $75,001, you pay the full amount. And so you certainly wouldn't want your employer to pay you an extra $2 there at the end of the year because it would end up costing a lot of money. So we need to try to fix that. The governor is also asking the legislature to pass a medical cannabis bill and Medicaid expansion. And so I think both of those will be difficult, but we'll certainly give it our old college try and see what we can do.
So Medicaid expansion, does that have any chance at all, do you think, Jeff?
Quite honestly, I don't think so. I think the last vote we had in the Senate, we had 14 votes. And so we would need an additional 7, and I don't see 7 senators that have changed their stance on that since we had the last vote. So it'd be difficult on the Senate side. The House is a little bit of an unknown because we've got a number of new members there. But my guess right now is it would maybe get 55 at the top side.
Understood.
Frustrating, disappointing. We're passing on a tremendous amount of federal dollars that could be flowing into our lower-income people for medical insurance, which would certainly benefit our health care providers, particularly our hospitals, with uncollectible receivables and those type of things. But it's a political hot button, and we just don't seem to be able to change people's minds.
I want to get back to tax policy and kind of your thoughts on the different components that you mentioned earlier and kind of how you see things should move forward from your perspective. But I wanted to ask you about medical marijuana. If memory serves me correctly, you were part of the select committee on that last year?
I was. Well, I serve on the Fed and State Committee, and we dealt with a new bill last year. It's a monstrous bill. It's 500 pages long.
Oh, my.
And, you know, it's building a complete new industry in Kansas from the ground up. And, you know, thinking of how you regulate it, how you tax it, how you distribute it presents a lot of challenges. We looked at a number of other states. We weren't successful in getting the bill out last year, and so we had an interim committee this year that worked on it during the off session, and I was a member of that committee. And so I think we've got a really good bill that will be presented. My concern revolves around I don't get the warm fuzzy from Senate leadership and House leadership that they're very excited about it. And the reality of it is leadership controls what is considered and what's not considered. And so we'll have to find ways to convince them that, you know, this is something that Kansans want and we need to take a vote on and see where we're at. We'll keep pushing, and hopefully we'll get an opportunity to see whether it's passable or not in the legislature.
Jeff, on that, I know we had Mark Schreiber in with us Monday, and he had mentioned some concerns. I think a lot of people think the concerns are strictly on the business side or the law enforcement side, but he mentioned one that kind of threw me off, and that was, I think he's mentioned concerns about zoning when it comes to medical marijuana, and I'm assuming when it comes to the business operational side of things. Just how comprehensive does the plan have to be here for medical marijuana to gain the support and move forward?
Well, we have, quite honestly, we have looked at other states and their failures, quite honestly. Oklahoma has a huge mess. It was passed on a referendum with very little regulation, very little direction. A lot of those things, quite honestly, weren't thought of in Oklahoma. And so they have huge, huge problems in Oklahoma. Michigan, a number of years ago, had similar problems. And so what we've tried to do is look at all of the states that are doing it well and look at those states that have had the challenges and try to incorporate what's good and make sure that we're guarding ourselves against what's bad. But zoning is certainly an issue. The bill that I think will be presented will give either counties or cities the opportunity to opt out. And then if they opt in, you know, zoning is a local issue, but my guess is that not everybody wants a dispensary next door to them. And so, you know, the local governing boards will have to decide where it's appropriate and where it's not. So there is a lot of work that goes into it, and there's a lot of nuances that have to be considered.
Talking this morning with Kansas District 17 State Senator Jeff Longbine on one of our legislative previews on KVOE. It is 8:34, 28 degrees. Senator, let's talk about education here for a couple of moments, if we could.
Sure.
First, on the higher education scheme of things, we've got, obviously, Emporia State University, Flint Hills Tech College here. And we talked about budgetarily how things are in pretty good shape. Do you see any significant funding coming down the road for possibly Emporia State? Could that be happening?
Well, I'm very, very hopeful, and I will work very, very hard to make sure that we get an opportunity to discuss that. My hope is that the governor will put a significant increase for higher ed system-wide in her budget. It is a whole lot easier to accept things that the governor is recommending than it is to either add or delete from the governor. And so if she'll put it in her budget, we're in great shape. If not, we'll have to figure out a way to get additional enhancements in there. But higher ed system-wide is really, really struggling. Enrollments are down significantly, not only the Emporia State, but all of the state universities. Tech colleges seem to be doing better than the so-called Regents institutions. Community colleges are kind of a mixed bag, but by the time you look at decrease in enrollment, and then you look at the inflationary costs that they're having to absorb, and then you look at the deferred maintenance on each campus, it adds up to big, big numbers. And so they certainly need some help. Now's a great time to do it. We've got the cash to do it, either on a one-time basis or, you know, give them some enhancements. So I'm hopeful on that.
To Emporia State's situation specifically, what have you been able to gather about, I guess, the need for the framework for workforce management as requested then approved by the Board of Regents in September, and what you've been able to gather from the reinvestment announcements, which have been periodic since then?
Well, I know it was a very, very difficult situation for campus leadership and K Board to deal with, but I certainly think it's absolutely the right direction. You cannot continue year after year after year to pour money into programs that have very low enrollment and high cost. And if you have other programs that have the ability to expand and grow, that's certainly where you want to put your resources. And so I know it was a very, very difficult time for ESU, but I am very pleased with the direction they're heading. Some of the numbers that have been shared with me as far as looking at applications and freshman enrollment up this year considerably, I think they're heading the right direction.
Jeff, shifting off of higher education, going to public education, K-12, what's your thoughts here on, where things stand funding-wise and specifically with, a bigger push towards maybe fully funding special education over the last 6 months?
Well, I fully expect the legislature to fund K-12, according to the Gannon decision and the agreement that was made 3 years ago or 4 years ago now. I fully expect that. K-12 is asking the state to fully fund education or special education, which is a little bit more difficult. We're supposed to fund that at 92%, but that is a mix between state funding and federal funding. And quite honestly, the federal funding is the portion that is not keeping up with their end of the bargain. And so what education is asking us to do is to supplement the amount that the federal government is not putting in. So they're asking us to take on their obligation. It's certainly possible, but that's more difficult for the legislature to swallow when we're paying someone else's bill.
Sure.
I certainly agree that special education needs to be funded at the current, at the rate that is supposed to be. But I'm not sure that the state should take over a federal obligation to do so. So we'll see how that plays out. The other thing that concerns me is there will no doubt be another attempt at some variation of school choice in the legislature this year. We have a number of members that are very, very interested in that, and that would be whether that's vouchers or money follows kids. But whatever would come from that, it takes dollars away from public K-12 education. And so we've got to be very, very careful with that and guard against anything that would reduce K-12 funding across the state. But there will certainly be efforts to do so.
if that were to take place, if you know, the vouchers or you know, the choosing comes into play, Senator, how significant could that be financially for K-12?
Well, you know, I think an easy way to think of it is if you look at the schools that we know best in Emporia by competing against them, which would be schools like Hayden and Aquinas and St. James Academy. You know, there's no state dollars in those schools, but if all of a sudden those students that were going there were receiving K-12 dollars, yeah, that's certainly going to take a significant amount away from. And, you know, it depends on how it is. If homeschool kids become eligible for K-12 dollars, that takes another significant portion out. But I don't have an exact percentage for you, but it could be significant dollars, and it depends on a district by district on how many of those students would choose a different option than what their public education has to offer.
Jeff, how big is the push for that? I mean, is it pretty strong?
It's big. It's a pretty strong conservative agenda item, and so I don't know that they have enough. Votes to pass it, but the difficulty becomes: a number of years ago, K-12 budget committee in the House was allowed, instead of just working on budget, they were also allowed to incorporate policy into the budget. And we've seen that over the last 5 or 6 years, that to fund K-12 education on the bill coming out from the House, you've got to swallow some policy, and not all of that policy is very good. So I'm sure there'll be another attempt this year, and that's what's drawn out budget for the last couple of years and made K-12 budget difficult. We've always got it done, but that continues to grow, and those concerns are still there.
Senator Jeff Longbine again joining us here on the KVUE Morning Show as we continue our look at the legislative session, which begins on Monday. Jeff, how much do you see abortion policy being reviewed here and possibly revisited after the so-called Value Them Both Amendment went down to defeat this past summer?
Well, we certainly have legislators who are extremely strong pro-life legislators, and so I'm sure that we will have a number of bills dealing with women's health care and abortion. How much traction they get is yet to be seen, and so you know, the bills will be there. Well, I'm sure they'll get hearings, whether they'll actually make it to the floor where they can actually pass. You know, the defeat of the Value Them Both Amendment was pretty widespread and by pretty wide margins. And so legislators who are paying attention to their constituents and how their constituents voted at the polls certainly need to keep that in the back of their mind.
So, Senator, your committee's same as last year?
Yeah, I will continue to chair the Financial Institutions and Insurance Committee. I will also chair our Senate Pensions Committee, which doesn't meet all of the time because of lack of need, and then I'll be a member of the Fed and State Committee.
Anything specifically out of those three committees, Jeff, that you see that are going to be really, maybe they don't wind up being huge items for the body as a whole, but certainly for your committee, what may be the top item or couple of items that you'll be facing?
Well, I could go into a whole bunch of insurance regulations, but I think all of your listeners would probably get glassed over and their ears would hurt and they'd turn the radio off, and I don't want to do that to you. So, number of changes to the Banking Commission, federal and state affairs will possibly look at the medical cannabis bill. You know, that's the committee that also deals with election security. I don't know how much of that stuff will be back. We adopted probably some decent legislation over the last couple of years. We defeated some really bad bills, but we'll see how much of that comes back. Other than that, I kind of anticipate business as usual.
Good deal. Jeff, anything that you think we need to put out here before the community, before we wrap things up here today?
Well, I think, you know, communication is key. Mark and I and Eric and Kenny all need to, know where our constituents are at. So I'm sure we'll have a number of exit issues scheduled. We'll have opportunities to communicate with us. Those are extremely important. We need to know what our concerns are from our constituents and how we can best react to those. And, of course, email the four of us. And, if you have concerns about a specific bill or you have thoughts or ideas on how the state can do something better, we're certainly interested in hearing that. So other than that, we'll go to work on Monday and get our sleeves rolled up, go to work and see how things come out.
Well, we can't wait to get you back on once things get rolling, Senator. As always, we appreciate your time.
Well, I'm happy to do it, and I appreciate the opportunity to visit with you.
Thanks, Jeff. Appreciate it.
Good luck starting next week.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right. It's 17th District State Senator Jeff Longbine joining us on our Newsmaker 2 segment this morning, a legislative preview brought to you this morning by State Farm Insurance Agent Pete Euler at 920 Commercial, providing clients with peace of mind in the Emporia area for over 42 years. Call Pete at 342-6272 for a quote today. State Farm Insurance Agent Pete Euler. It is 8:46. Good morning.
After waiving extradition proceedings Tuesday, Brian Koberger, the suspect in the murder of four University of Idaho students,